When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Outkick Bets podcast. This is the host, Jeff Clark. It's the third signature event of the PGA Tour, I believe, right? I got the homie Mark Harris here, Outkick Golf Guru. He does some gambling on the side, but mostly just covering the ins and outs of golf. That includes the PGA Tour and LIV Tour. I've been meaning to have you on here for a while. Our schedules haven't been able to fit, but finally got you on board. Mark, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Like you said, I think me and you probably talk golf on Slack just about every day. So it's glad we finally got to link up with the time change and all that. But yeah, should be good, man. Always look forward to Riviera, one of the best events of the year for sure.
I love this course, dude. I actually was invited to go to it with a homie who had passes a couple years ago, but I was just so knee deep into gambling that I wanted to watch it at home, and you know what I mean, just not have to like walk around the course and then look at my phone the whole time, if that's even allowed there. So I whiffed on that one. You've never been to Riviera, have you?
I have not. I've never been really to the LA area. I've been to San Diego, but obviously that's not LA, but I haven't made my way there. I would love to. It's just one of those California courses that doesn't like kind of feel like a California course. You know, it's not, you know, on the coast or anything like that with pebbles or the Torrey Pines and stuff. So it's always fun. You got, you know, old trees and stuff. It's kind of in that valley, just cool vibe out there.
Yeah, it's not a coastal course. I think it's more of like a parkland course.
Right.
I actually use this guy Ron Close from BetSperts, whatever. I check out his like course breakdowns because he does such a good job previewing the courses. So I'm gonna go over some of his like course facts, kind of just set the table before we start eating. The Riviera is a par 71. It's only three par fives, but it's 7,300 yards. Huge greens, poa grass, which is the really only thing that kind of makes this a California course. You know, California mostly has poa greens. It is a parkland style course. There's actually a 36 hole cut, which a lot of signature events on the PGA Tour don't have. It's hosted by Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger Woods wants cuts. So if Tiger's going to host the event, they're going to do cuts. I think it's the top 50 though, out of 70. So
they're kind of pulling the same kind of thing that they do at Augusta, where it's the top 50 and ties. So, you know, to make the cut, you got to beat 20 some odd guys. So, you know,
yeah,
certainly makes a difference, but, you know, the top dog shouldn't have a problem making it to the weekend.
No, that's true. Do you think Tiger Woods is going to make the weekend?
Man, I don't know. It's a hard one. I would like to see him make the weekend. I think the PGA Tour like desperately needs him because the past few weeks have just been so wonky on tour. Not even like from the LIV standpoint, obviously LIV's done maybe a little bit better than people expected out of the gates for the first 2 weeks, but there's all the bad weather delays. And I mean, we haven't had a quote unquote favorite win a golf tournament all year. I mean, every winner has been at least 80-1, on the opening odds. I mean, Wyndham Clark was the only, you know, top 15 or so player in the world to win this year. So it's been a weird one. I think they need a stacked leaderboard, which is all the signature events are, you know, that's what they got at Pebble. It just got cut short 54 holes. So they're definitely hoping for another one, and they wouldn't mind if Tiger's on that first or second page of the leaderboard.
Yeah. Based on my notes, all the events have been won by 100-1 or longer, bombs. You hit Wyndham Clark at Pebble Beach, right?
I did. I lucked out. I just had a few bucks on him, but if, you know, turning a few bucks into a few hundred bucks is never a bad thing. Yeah, when you see you know this.
We're not union shaming over here. You put some action on Wyndham Clark. You got to win. That's all that
right.
matters.
That's right. We've kind of been on him since the U.S. Open last year. I hit him at the U.S. Open too. So it's been fun. And you know, I think like in today's PGA with a lot of some of the biggest names going to live, like I think he's a legitimate like top 20 guy on tour. And I don't think it's really, especially right now. I mean, when he's on with his short game, and he's an unbelievable, like even last week in Phoenix, his long iron game is just out of this world. And when he's got it clicking, man, he's without question a top 20 player in the world. I mean, he's top 10 in the world officially, but you know, even in the general public's mind, he's a dog.
I mean, he's been on fire since last year, picking up wins at the Wells Fargo, at the U.S. Open, like you said, at Pebble Beach. I had him last week at the Waste Management. Mm-hmm. He was, I think, tied for eighth entering the final round at a minus 10 and just imploded in the final round, which was completely unexpected because his ball striking was on point. His putting is usually very reliable, and he just
fell apart.
Yeah, that's kind of just how it works in golf, as you know.
Yeah, I had him in my one and done, and it was tough to see that on Sunday, but is what it is. We move on to the next.
Yeah. Back to Tiger Woods, who again is hosting this. It's funny that he's hosting an event that he's never won.
It's like the
how many of those are there?
This is the place that he can't cross hurdle. It's a weird fit for him. It always kind of has been. Obviously, he has the Cali ties, and he's won everything else. So you want to tie him into, this is a fit. But it's Riviera, like you said, it's only three par fives, but it's a big boy golf course for sure. Which, when Father Tom is undefeated and you've been in under the knife a dozen times, it's tough to win at big boy golf courses. But we'll see. I mean, I'd love to see him. Just make the weekend and not completely fade over the weekend if he does make the weekend. We don't need a DFL, finishing 50 out of 70 guys kind of deal.
I had him last year in this event, and he ended up finishing – I'm going to put some money on him as well. He was minus one, tied for 45, so a respectable showing. Wasn't last year the site where he where he was out driving Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, and he slipped Justin Thomas a tampon?
Yep. We'll see if the broadcast shows that one again this year. That's one of the great moments of all of last season that kind of got overshadowed from the cancel mob, but great moment by Tiger. I'm gonna imagine he does not do that again this year.
No, he got trampled by the squares and the hoity-toity people, and had to come out and give just a fake bullshit apology. That sucked. It was so funny too. And it was crazy watching him out drive. I mean, Justin Thomas is pretty long off the tee, but Rory is one of the best drivers in the world. And Tiger still got it. Or at least
it
he
was
did.
Just like, hell, last week at the Phoenix Open, you see Charlie Hoffman hitting it 335 out there. I mean, just with the adrenaline pump. And, I think he's 47 years old. I mean, it's crazy to see with the, we can't get on the topic of rolling the ball back. We'll be here all day. But, I guess that's a proponent of that when you got almost 50-year-olds and at 335 down the center.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the last two Genesis Invitational winners aren't in the field after defecting to the LIV Tour. Talking about Jon Rahm, who is the reigning champion, and Joaquin Neiman, who won it in 2022. Max Homme, the 2021 victor, and 2020 winner Adam Scott are obviously both in the field, still on the PGA Tour. But there's a lot of previous winners, or a couple more previous winners, that aren't going to be in the field because they're in the LIV Tour, including Bubba Watson and Dustin Johnson. Let's go through the odds of the favorites. Let's talk about guys that you would be interested in betting up top or maybe fading. We'll start with obviously world number one, Scottie Scheffler, who's roughly 6.5 to 1. I have really never bet Scottie Scheffler, and I'm not going to here. And it's just like the putting, it's comically bad. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. I kind of wrote it down in my notes. It's just like, man, it's hard to believe that we're coming up on almost a year since the last time he won a golf tournament. I mean, it's been kind of crazy. But like last week you saw it where he's just hitting it within 8 to 12 feet every single hole, and he can't even, I mean, he's not even coming close to hitting some of these holes, which, you know, now he gets to go on a putting surface that is completely different on the other, you know, West Coast and stuff. When you think of Scheffler, you kind of want the purest, you know, greens. You know, he's won it obviously at Sawgrass and Augusta, among very many other places. But yeah, it kind of seems like it's inevitable for him to win one. I wouldn't be stunned if he won this week, but it's really hard to trust him. And just like, you know, Victor Hovland's, you know, third favorite this week, which he's going through God knows what off the course. There's rumors that he might be a little banged up in the wrist area, and then he wore tape a couple weeks ago, and then fired his short game guru coach, kind of out of the wild blue, who completely transformed his game. But yeah, those top guys, I don't know if I can touch this week, especially, I mean, I always have trouble betting a guy that's like 6-1, you know, even in a small field like this. I just, you know, I think there's more value a little bit further down the board.
Yeah, it's just Scheffler doesn't put the fear in me like other guys. Like that would be like even John Rahm when he was on tour getting those kind of prices, and Rory because of the putter. Like I'm looking at Fantasy National right now. He is 68th in this field in three putt avoidance and 69th in putting from 10 to 15 feet, which
out of 70 guys.
Right. Which Riviera is a big deal. They have pretty big greens, very, very tricky greens. It's some of the toughest greens to putt on. Especially from that 10 or 15 feet. And it's just like, I have no like confidence he's going to hit anything outside of 5 feet.
You have more faith of him making a 35 footer than a 6 footer. It's one of those weird kind of predicaments.
Yeah. I want him chipping.
God, the guy chips in more than anybody else I've ever seen. It's kind of, I think Jordan Spieth's kind of gone through these kind of similar streaks where, you know, you'd rather him hit a 25 footer instead of a 4 footer. It's just, sometimes it's just not comfortable for these guys to go, you know. It's golf, man. Putting is the most gimmicky part of the game. So it, you know, it'll come and go. He'll pop one off sooner rather than later. But it's tough to see it happen at Riviera on some nasty greens on a surface that probably isn't his favorite.
Yeah, dude, I'm actually gonna fade him. I'm gonna take Rory McIlroy +125 over him in the tournament matchup at Caesars. We're buying low on, or I'm buying low on Rory. He finished T66 at Pebble Beach. Otherwise, his finishes are, you know, top 10 all down the line.
One in the desert. Yeah. Yeah. He's already won this year over in Dubai or wherever that was. But,
it was like Challenge or something like that.
Yeah. He's won it like 27 times or something. I think that was his fourth time to win it. But, we'll see. I don't mind Rory. He's had some good finishes here. And, you know, Riv is one of those places, you know, every stat guy you read or every podcast you read that they know what they're talking about. It's even with course form or course history for some of these guys, man, you got to come in here with some form. Like you can't come in here after a few weeks off and your game's not sharp. I mean, this is the place where you really got to hit your targets. You got some long irons in your hand. And Rory, when he's on, I think he's obviously the best in the world, and he can get away with, obviously, being as long as he is, he can get away with missing a few fairways if you put some shorter irons in his hand compared to some of the shorter hitters and getting longer irons in their hands. So he's clearly, he would be my favorite of the top four or five names, no question.
Yeah, last year he gained 8.5 strokes tee to green at Riviera. He shot -4, finished T29, gained 6.3 strokes approach, but lost 4.8 putting. He's had a lot of success putting on these greens before, so I don't think I'm not that worried about the putting, especially when I'm have him going against Scottie Scheffler. I have no argument Scottie Scheffler for him being the number one in the world. He's first on my model, but I'm going to take a chunky plus number with Rory McIlroy as for one of my two head-to-heads. I'll get in the other one a little bit later. The highest... or the biggest favorite that I have on my card. I actually have two guys under 20-1. I make it a habit to bet my favorite golfer at this spot. That's Colin Morikawa. I got him at 1800, plus 1800 at FanDuel. He was T6 here last year, T2 here 2 years ago. Two of the other guys that I have on my card are bombers because it's, seems like guys who can drive the ball really well perform here or win here at Riviera. That's not really Morikawa, but he makes up for like distance with just precision. Like he's always hitting fairways. Fantasy National does this thing, good drives gained, which is just like a blend of accuracy and distance, and he's always in the top five. So I'm going to go with his precision. I'm actually going to use him in one and done since this is a signature event. Any thoughts on Colin Morikawa in this tournament?
Yeah, what did he do at Pebble? Did he play well at Pebble?
T14 minus 10.
T14? Yeah, you take that. So he's kind of informed, didn't play last week because that's not really his vibe.
He lost, so he gained strokes tee to green, off the tee, around the green, and putting, and lost strokes and approach in Pebble Beach. It's like that doesn't happen.
That's the weird one. Yeah, that's kind of a weird outlier. Just going back to my previous point about, you know, long irons and stuff, Morikawa is one of those guys that he can almost take a little bit less off of some of these tees because he's, you know, in my opinion, top three long iron player in the world. So he definitely fits here, has some high-end finishes, will hit plenty of fairways and stuff like that. We should be in the mix. I mean, it's hard to argue against Morikawa, especially at a number like that. In one of my head-to-heads, I actually have him over Max Homa, which he'll be the uber-popular play just because he won here a few years ago and he's the Cali kid. But he's been off form for most of the year, really. Max Homa hadn't shown much life, and I kind of like Morikawa in that spot, even if the odds are, you know, minus 120, not playing a dog or anything, but kind of a good spot, I think, for Morikawa to leap over him on the leaderboard for sure.
Yeah, Homa finished second behind Rahm last year, but it was in much better form. Like you said, we won the 2023 Farmers Insurance Open a couple weeks prior to the Genesis last year. So I'm with you in terms of, you know, fading Homa's form or not being in good form, but I'm not gonna I guess fade him with a head to head matchup. Just going to Colin Morikawa. Who's the highest favorite that you have on your betting cards?
It's funny. I'm kind of still going with the trend of not a huge top dog winning this week, but my lowest is actually Cameron Young. Well, I guess you could throw in Matt Fitzpatrick. He's got similar odds at most books, but I like Cam Young. Showed a lot of life last week. He clearly hits it miles, and he can get away with missing a few fairways. You know, Riviera is kind of funny. It's got like this, I don't know, I want to call it like a mystique to where it's not necessarily like a bomb and gouge track, but kind of some of the comps for it. I mean, you can just kind of get away with missing some fairways here and there. Your short game's got to be in a good spot because if you miss greens, you can be in really, really bad spots. But, you know, I like Cam Young. Like I said, you got to have some form coming into this place. He played really well overseas maybe about a month ago. And then, you know, popped off last week for a pretty good finish. If he's got the putter going and, like I said, gets away with some big boy tee shots, he's up there. And then Fitz kind of checks that mold too. He's not obviously as long as Cam Young, but he pokes it out there in good ways. Augusta's a good comp for this place. Fitzpatrick's had some success over there. Just kind of feels like a place where Fitzpatrick can really reel off some birdies on some holes, and which he, you know, he's done that all over the world. I think he just checks a lot of boxes this week and kind of an underrated long iron player as well. You know, top 25-ish from 175, 200 yards. So I think he could definitely be in the mix this week. I got him at 40-1 and Cam Young's 35-1.
Nice. Yeah. I almost added Matt Fitzpatrick to my card. He does really good on par fives because he's low key a bomber off the tee.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It changes his game around. He's a little dude who just crushes the ball. Cam Young, obviously one of the best drivers in the game as well. I have a couple bombers as well on my card, including Ludvig. I took him at 20-1. Both of us have been high on him the whole time, or since he joined the PGA Tour last year after, you know, dominating amateur golf or collegiate golf. His stats are insane. He crushes it on my model. He's third on my bet the number model. He's top 10 and off the tee, par 4 scoring, par 5 scoring, putting on POA. I think he would have won Pebble Beach if they extended it a fourth round. Right? I think most people kind of agree with that, you know? Like the way he was going. Yeah. He was just I'm going to put this in my my Genesis Invitational preview, but like he's kind of like a Swedish Terminator. Like he just like robotically crushes these courses. He doesn't really show a lot of emotion. And if anything, he kind of laughs off his you know, like shitty putting or mistakes. Yeah. Like, doesn't seem like anything gets in his head.
Yeah, you have to almost kind of play mental gymnastics with him, because obviously most of these starts that he's making, he's never played on tour at. I mean, he's, you know, a rookie out there, so it's, you got, oh, it's, this is his first time here, it's his first time there. But I mean, he did that on the DP World Tour, won a couple times, and you're like, oh, this seems like a really good fit, but I don't know, he's never played here before. Like you said, I don't think that matters with this kid. Like, I think he's generational. I think he could go down as literally, I think I've messaged you this, like, I think he could be like one of the greatest drivers of the golf ball of all time.
Yep.
So when you mix that and you get a remotely warm putter, like you said, he's been putting pretty well this year, even on the West Coast, which is probably not his MO or where you would tack him to be pretty deadly with the flat stick. But he's going to be like this his whole career, really, if he stays healthy. He just checks every box at every place he steps foot on. I'm not comparing him to Scheffler yet, because he doesn't have that kind of resume, but he's kind of like a Scheffler, where he just, you know, you could put him on the moon and he could win a golf tournament.
He's got a smoother swing. Like, Scheffler's footwork is a little crazy, but he obviously makes it work. But, like, yeah, again, it's just like a robot up there with the driver. Like, it is 330 straight down the middle. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's effortless, too. It's pretty effortless. I mean, he looks like a guy that was built in a lab to hit a golf ball, you know?
Yeah.
Just built perfectly and not too big, not too skinny, just, you know, the perfect swing to hit a golf ball.
Yeah, like, like you kind of alluded to, it feels wrong betting someone at these odds in his first ever visit to Riviera.
Right.
But I think next year he'll go from plus 2,000 where I got him to plus 1,000. Like, he's that good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. He's plus 2,000. Max Homa was plus 2,000. I mean, he's got better odds than Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, Cam Young, Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick. I mean, hell, Wyndham Clark's still 40-1 at most books. He won 2 weeks ago and won the U.S. Open 6 months ago. And Auberg's got half his odds. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's justified, I think. So
yeah,
I'm adding him to my card. I'm going to go with it. Those are my two, like, favorites. I have two bombs and one mid-range guy. Do you have anyone else in, like, the top? We'll go you said your biggest favorite is Cameron Young, yeah, right? You have no one under 30-1.
Yeah, but I bet Cameron Young at 35-1, and then Fitz is actually kind of my favorite. He's my pick to win it. I got him at 40-1. But beyond that, I've got a couple bombs. But, you know, just staying the course of this PGA Tour season, not trying to miss out on another bomb play if this trend continues of non-favorites hoisting the trophies on Sunday.
Okay. Any thoughts, whether fading or just just any thoughts in general about, like, Xander, JT, Cantley?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, Cantlay's one that's kind of – I feel like nobody's really talking about him this week. But obviously, the Cali ties, same thing with Xander. I think Xander just doesn't win golf tournaments, so I just don't really like pulling the plug with him. But the number's not terrible. I think, you know, earlier in the week, he was closer to 20-1, 15-1. He's at like 16 most places now. But of that bunch, kind of the same odds as Xander, Morikawa, and Cantlay. I think you got to go with Morikawa of the three, just kind of course fit and ability to win golf tournaments. Cantlay can too, but he just hasn't gotten popped yet this year. And I kind of like playing him when he's in like some serious form. I think he's kind of a back end of the year kind of guy anyway. So yeah, just not really touching the top. And then, you know, JT's up there too, and he's in form. Wouldn't want to miss out on him, but I think he's still a shot or two away of, you know, finding the winner's circle. I got to kind of see just another week maybe before I kind of jump into the JT camp.
No, I love JT. I love him here. I was thinking about firing on him instead of Ludwig. It's just, I feel like the number is perfect. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There's not a shade of value in there. If it was 20-1, yeah, I'd be like, okay, 16-1. It's fair. That is fair.
Yeah.
The mid-range guy that I have, 60-1, Anywhere from 55 to 1 to 60 to 1. I'm going back to my guy, Nikolai Højgaard, who I had at the Farmers Insurance Open. He finished solo second behind Matthew Pavon, which was one of the worst losses that I've had recently in golf, which is saying a lot because I've done a lot of losing so far this season. But when Pavon hit it into the sand and then like 60 yards short of the green in that thick rough on 18 at Torrey Pines in the final hole of the tournament, I really was like kind of counting my money or at least expecting a playoff. Then that dude hit it within 7 feet, buried the putt, ended up winning that tournament. And Nikolai Højgaard didn't cash for me as an outright winner. But, I mean, the guy's playing great, at least in his first two events on tour. He won the DP World Tour Championship over Rory McIlroy. So he's in great form. And I just think, you know, a lot of American bettors don't know him because, he's young and most of his production or recent results are on the DP World Tour. But I think this is something I'm gonna rate in my preview, but Torrey Pines is one of the toughest courses to drive on. And if you can drive well there, he picked up 3.5 strokes off the tee. I think you can drive well on Riviera. And
yeah, he drives it. He drives it kind of like Auburn. He's kind of got that effortless little short. I mean, he hits it at miles, but it's not like he's swinging out of his shoes every time. Yeah, he checks a lot of boxes. And to your point, I mean, he's won some pretty big events overseas. I don't think he's going to be too intimidated. And, you know, he kind of wet his beak a little bit at Torrey. He kind of got a taste of it. So I think he's, especially at that number, I mean, I'm sure he opened it even higher, but he's still sitting at 60 to 1 in most places. So I don't hate that one bit in that range.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good with the irons, not great, but just crushes it off the tee and is lights out with the putter. So yeah. I'm willing to work with that as well, especially at this number. And to me, kind of fits the mold of like previous Riviera winners, right? I mean, he crushes the ball off the tee like Rahm, like Watson, like DJ. Obviously, so does Ludvig. But, you know, I already got Ludvig on my card and I'm getting 60 to 1 with Nikolai Højgaard. I think it's a great look.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any qualms about that. The other one kind of in that same range that I circled, I haven't pulled the trigger yet on, is Keegan Bradley, just because of course history. He showed some life out in Hawaii, but that feels like eons ago. So, at the number at 60 to 1, it's terrible. He's just going to hit the hell out of fairways. Decent long arm player. The short game is a little this season, I think. But, when he's hot, he kind of finds a different gear, even, you know, at his age and all this experience. But he's one that I would kind of wouldn't be stunned if he's on that first page.
Whoa, take it easy with his age. Me and him both graduated from St. John's 2008. We're both the same age. We're not that old, right?
You look much younger than Keegan. I think
he's got a much tougher schedule. That probably wears him down.
Yeah. I kind of like Keegan. I think he may be kind of a popular play in the DFS stuff. I'm not dabbling into that, but I think this is just a spot where he just kind of lurks a little bit, probably someone in contention come the weekend.
So the bet the number model that I use, they have this stat going for the green, and I think that's going to be important for this for this tournament, because Riviera has very tricky greens and you want to set yourself up with good looks. And it's kind of like there's just spots where you either are gambling or you're forced to gamble on going for it and getting close to the pin. And over his last 40 rounds, Keegan Bradley second in this field and going for the green and hitting him in regulation. So
wow,
I know.
Who's first in that? Who's first in that number?
Believe it or not, this guy I love, but terrible form. Sung Jae-im.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me.
It might have been a lot of like the work either that he did at Century, where he set the record for most birdies. You know, he was going for it all the time and hit most of them. So,
yeah.
I don't hate Keegan Bradley, especially at that number. I added 100-to-1 card, 100-to-1 bomb to my card as well, and this is a guy that you hit at the John Deere Classic, I believe, right? Sepp Straka.
Yeah, I'm a big Sepp guy. Yeah.
He just randomly pops.
Yeah. Yeah. And man, when hit, you talk about a guy when his putter's on, that dude, it turns into the ocean for him. He's got like the real quick kind of pre-shot routine when he's on the greens. He just kind of picks a spot and hits it. But man, when he's rolling it well, which I don't know his stats on POA or whatever, but he's I don't know if he's shown too much form this year. I hadn't really seen much of Sepp Straka, but he's a guy that I could always kind of get behind, the just kind of a random pop off moment.
So he was T12 at the Century, which I think is a 60-person field this year for the first time ever, right?
Sounds right, yeah.
Not good, not great. Picked up strokes putting, picked up 4 strokes on approach. He was T26 at Pebble Beach despite losing strokes with the irons and on the greens. But you see the number 100-1, and you think this guy probably doesn't have much win equity or maybe just sucks in big tournaments. Neither one is true. He was second in the Open, 7th in the PGA Championship, which was one of the toughest driving courses that I can remember. Definitely of last year. Again, he won the John Deere, which is money that is a tournament that you profited off of, or a bet that you profited off of. And I was sweating it with you. Remember that dude shot a 62 in round 4 to come out of nowhere?
Yep. Yeah, I don't even remember who it was.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that tournament was wild. I don't remember who it was that shot. Was it him that shot 62?
He shot 62 in round 4 to steal that tournament.
Yeah, so I've got that one where he shoots 62 to steal it, and I've got Wyndham Clark to shoot 60 to steal it at Pebble Beach under my name.
That's awesome.
Real consistency there.
Yeah, completely sustainable predictive betting right there.
Yes, absolutely.
Doesn't matter how you get it done. So, I know. But yeah. I remember watching Sepp Straka just crush it on Sunday in the John Deere Classic, and we're just sitting there talking about it, and we're thinking, wow, he might be able to win this. And then by hole 18, the tournament was locked. It was over. Walking to save par. How badly he crushed the field. I'm looking at he shot a 62. Alex Smalley was second. He shot a 67. Ludwig was 4. He actually shot a 63 on round 4. So Sepp Straka can get hot. He's very accurate off the tee. He's good with his irons from 150 to 200. You just alluded to the putting surface. POA is his best putting surface. Mm. It could actually be windy in Riviera this weekend. He picks up strokes in windy conditions. He picks up strokes in difficult conditions. I just think for 100-1, based on his recent results, actual win equity, I'm willing to take a shot.
Yeah, I got him at 95, not Sepp, but I got another guy at 95-1. He's dropped pretty significantly since, but I got Kurt Kitayama at 95-1. Showed a lot of life last week. I think he really checks just about every stat box you need out there. Good putter, good long iron player, plenty long off the tee. Has found the winner's circle. I mean, he's one of those guys that flies under the radar. I saw that 95-1 number after he showed some serious life last week, so I jumped on that, threw a little $5 on him just to be in the mix. Because I think he could legitimately win this week if, the trend continues of under-the-radar guys that aren't necessarily under the radar. I mean, he's, one of the top players in the world statistically. So kind of like Kurt at that number.
He's kind of
a guy that I think can sneak, yeah. Yeah, he likes the big game hunt a little bit. He likes the big boy track. So we'll see how he handles at Riv. I think he has some decent history at Riv, if I'm not mistaken, but could be way off there.
He only played once last year, missed the cut +2. That's all I got here. But he is seventh.
The hot hand then.
Yeah, he's seventh and going for green over his last 40 rounds, according to my Bet the Number model, and he's sixth in proximity from 175 to 200, so with the long irons. Like you said, he is running hot. Let me see. I wonder how he putts on POA. I feel like he does well, but...
I think he's a Northern Cali guy, too. I think he's from out there.
I thought he's from Vegas, right? He went to UNLV and lives in Vegas, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah, he actually does struggle on POA, but... I don't hate taking a flyer on him because he's in good form. And again, he has win equity. I mean, he won a big boy event last year. So I don't hate that at all. And then my last bet on my card, at least for an outright, is just the sucker. I can't help myself. Tiger Woods plus a 150 to one. Probably not going to win, obviously, because of you know, age and injuries and stuff. But he still has the ball striking ability, at least last time I saw him.
He's got speed, too. I mean, he's got plenty of speed. I mean, like you said, I don't think he's going to win, but I wouldn't be stunned if, you know, he finishes 14th or something, maybe. I don't know. He's Tiger Woods. I mean, he's still got speed off the tee, and if the putter's all right, he's going to be just fine. Be rocking some new clothes this week. Would be unbelievable if he won in his debut and his new outfitter just even made the cut and gets 4 days and the 4 day scripting of his new outfit. I'm sure he's really hoping for that behind the scenes. But yeah, we'll see. Just excited to watch him hit some golf balls.
Dude, I got him at, or I can access a bet for him versus Charlie Hoffman. He's getting plus 165.
Hoffman's in form, man.
I mean, he played well last week. Is that necessarily in form? I don't know. I'm just looking at this now. So let me pull up his recent form.
It's probably not great at all. I don't even know how much he's been playing.
He T56 at the Farmers, missed the cut at the Sony, T42 at the Sony, or missed the cut at the American Express, T42 at the Sony. He picked up 7 strokes putting last week. He did pick up 7 strokes with the irons as well. He's made the cut in the last 2 visits to Riviera, 2022, 2021. But you know, plus 165, sprinkle a little bit on Tiger to win outright and try to cover it with a with a head to head versus Charlie Hoffman. Yeah. I don't hate that.
Oh, there's definitely worse head to heads to make than that one for sure.
So I already talked to you about Rory plus 125 over Scheffler. I'm going to go with my last head to head matchup. I want your thoughts on. I'm going to go Sam Burns over Jordan Spieth. Sam Burns has been driving the ball really well lately, and he gets into trouble off the tee when he's inaccurate. But he's been accurate, and we know his putting is just lights out. So I love the fact that he's long off the tee. He's hitting fairways right now, and I can count on him to make putts. Jordan Spieth, who is a golfer I love, like he's so entertaining to watch, but like his just erratic play could lead to huge numbers really in any golf course. So he can show up and win in any golf course as well. But I'm going to go with Sam Burns, mostly because of recent form. But what are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, both played pretty well last week. I think you take the volatility of Burns off the tee over Spieth. Spieth had it clicking everywhere last week except with the irons. He just had some – I don't know if he was in between numbers a lot in the fairway. I mean, he hit plenty of fairways last week, but you know, I remember him flying the green on 18 to finish up his third round. He just wasn't clicking with the iron. So I think there is value over that where Sam Burns, he can get away with a little bit of stuff off the tee just because he has the super, super hot putter when it's hot. He's one of the best putters in the world. So I do kind of like that play. I think both of those guys could certainly be in contention come Sunday. I think Spieth's due for one. I think Burns could definitely win at, you know, a signature event like this to really pop back onto the scene because he's been relatively quiet. So wouldn't mind seeing those guys towards the top, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were. But I do like that play just with – I think Burns' upside right now is just a tick higher than Spieth's.
Yeah, Spieth's actually losing 1.4 strokes with the irons over his last 5 events. He's been able to make up for it just with his craftiness and putting, but if he loses strokes with his irons in this one, I don't think he can overcome that in a matchup against Sam Burns, who I think will finish inside the top 20. I mean, he was T3 at Phoenix Open last week, which was kind of disappointing given how well he played the first 3 rounds. T10 at Pebble Beach, T6 at the American Express. He's been great form, so I'm gonna go ahead and take him. You know, based on that, like I said.
Yeah.
What do you have any other plays or any thoughts about Riviera that you want to get off your chest?
Just, I've got one more head to head. I know I mentioned the Morikawa over Homa, kind of one further down the board. I've got JT Poston over Eric Cole.
I was gonna do that too. All right, cool.
Yeah,
I might add that to my cart. Little,
yeah, I kind of like I like that one a lot actually. I think it's a really good bounce back spot for Poston. Missed a cut last week, which I don't think was, you know, I mean, obviously for him it was the worst thing. He didn't get a paycheck, but have a little bit of time off, get reset. He just hits so many greens that I think he puts himself in too many good spots. I think Eric Cole's getting a little bit too much love, you know, the rookie of the year stuff, all that. And he's been playing a lot. So I think JT Poston with a couple extra days to reset, keeps hitting greens. I think he's top 10 on tour in greens and regulation. So I really like his upside over an Eric Cole. I think Poston just makes too many birdies and gives himself too many chances not to be able to take down Eric Cole.
I'm actually going to tell you on that one. I like Poston over Cole as well. Based on pretty much everything you've already said, he just crushes in my model too. He's fourth in my BTN model. Eric Cole does really well, but he does really well in everyone's model. And every time I bet him, he kind of screws me. He's not a good driver. He's very inaccurate. And Poston isn't a good driver either, but I think Poston's putting and iron play is a little more reliable than Eric Cole, which is pretty much something you already said. So I'm just going along with you on that one.
Yeah, love that. And then I've got just one more that he's one of the guys that I don't like to miss out on. I just sprinkled a couple bucks on Harris English because he showed a little bit of life last week. He's had kind of a weird year, but he's another guy. He's kind of similar to Poston in my opinion. He can really get on some streaks. Just a consistent ball striker, that kind of deal where I think Riviera – kind of fits his game in a weird way. Just Mr. Consistent can maybe get away with a little bit of stuff. He's just a gamer. And when the putter's going well, which I don't know if it's been necessarily warm, but I think you can set up for a lot of guys, obviously. But I like Harris English just as a way down the board play. I think I got him at 100 or 110 to 1, one of those.
He picked up 4.5 strokes putting last week at Phoenix. There you go. He picked up 8.8 strokes putting last year at Riviera, shot minus -8, T12. He's one of the best putters in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
just a consistent guy.
He's accurate. He's accurate off the tee. He's crushing it with his long irons lately. He's good at difficult courses as well. Good in windy conditions. So if the wind picks up, I might do a little Harris English as well. He's actually gaining yards on the field and distance off the tee, which is something I don't really expect out of him. He's gained yards off the tee compared to the field in 8 straight events. I like that.
I mean, top 10 bet, he's at plus +650 on FanDuel. I mean, that's not horrendous either odds. Just maybe throw 10, 20 bucks on, so. Yeah, just a guy that I when he's kind of in form, he's kind of almost like an auto bet. If he shows form the previous week, I think he's one of those guys that's kind of streaky. He's obviously a Sea Island guy, so the West Coast is kind of a weird spot in your brain to function with for him to go out there and compete. But just a guy that when he's hot, he's a guy that I like to jump on board with.
Yeah, I mean, he picks up strokes putting on POA, so even though he is a Southern dude, I mean, he plays well enough on these, or putts well enough on these greens. Man, I don't hate it. I'm going to add him to my card as well, I think. 10th.
There we go.
At the, tied for 8th at the U.S. Open. Tied for 3rd at the Wells Fargo last year, 2nd at the Arnold Palmer. 12th at the Genesis. I'm down. Let's do it. Let's do it, baby.
Let's do it.
All right. So, officially my betting card, I'm going Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, Nikolaj Højgaard, Sepp Straka, Harris English, Tiger Woods, Sam Burns over Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and I'm going to use Morikawa in my one and done. As of now, I might switch it to Åberg, actually. I don't know. One of those two are going to be my one and done. Your one and done's Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick, one and done. I'm for some reason in my head, I've circled U.S. Open as a spot for Ludvig just at Pinehurst. I just kind of like him there for some reason. I could see him just popping off there. But yeah, my card, I got Fitz.
What, Where's the PGA Tour play or the PGA Championship played at? Because
Valhalla.
I'm mentally using Ludwig there, but you think he's better for US Open?
He's one of those guys where he checks the boxes everywhere. I could see him competing at Valhalla. In my one and done, you pick two guys at majors. So Valhalla, I think Valhalla was literally built for Victor Hovland. So he's definitely going to be on the card there. Just fits his game perfectly. And then Auberg could definitely – an Auberg-Hovland combo at Valhalla or at Pinehurst. A lot of trouble out at Pinehurst. So you got to, golf your ball in every facet, just like at every US Open. But it's kind of a weird track that we hadn't seen in a while. So it should be fun there.
All right. I cut you off. Keep going through your card.
Yeah. So Fitz, that's my pick to win. I got him at 40-1. Going to use him in one and done. Cam Young, 35-1. Kurt Kitayama, 95-1. And then sprinkled English at 100 or 110-1. And my two head-to-heads, I like Colin Morikawa over Max Homa, the two Cali boys there, and then JT Poston over Eric Cole, which I convinced you to take as well. So we'll definitely lose money on it. So looking forward to it.
We'll go down together, though, brother.
Yeah. Also, always.
Yeah, misery loves company. So I'm happy that
that's right.
I'm happy to go down with you. At least me and you can bitch together about it.
That's right.
Well, you're OutKick's official golf guy. You also cover culture and Tennessee sports. Where can people keep up with your content?
Yeah, man. Just follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it these days, @itismarkharris. And working at OutKick, right? Cover, kind of like you said, the golf guy over there. Just cover the game pretty closely, which has been quite a lot the past 2 or 3 years now with Liv. But we have a ton of fun over there. Just continually ramping up the golf content over there. I do a column every Monday morning called Par Talk that you can catch up on everything that you might have missed over the weekend. Looking forward to golf getting a little bit more of the spotlight now that the NFL's over. So, we're getting close to it, man. Masters is right around the corner. Then it's full bore from there.
Yeah, this is the last signature event until Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Then the following week, you have the Players Championship. So we get a little bit of a break for the next couple weeks, but middle of March is going to be insane between March Madness and then two signature events. And then again, like you said, the Masters in mid-April. So this is golf's taking center stage now that football is in the rear view. So I'm excited.
Love it.
Hopefully we can get you back here again to cover one of these signature events. Hopefully Harris English gets there for us since me and you are both
Let's go.
And hopefully your guys' bets at home win. Best of luck to you guys, whether you fade or follow us. Make sure you follow Mark at It's Mark Harris, right?
It is Mark Harris, yep.
It is Mark Harris at Twitter or X, whatever. Please show the podcast some love. Leave us some good reviews at Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. Follow OutKick Bets at OutKick Bets on Twitter. Until next time, peace, y'all.